Let's go to the book of John chapter 1 verse 50 and 51. John 1, 50 and 51. We'll see some things here, and it's education, it's spiritual education, how to function in the spirit. You know, spiritual education. And Jesus replied, "Because I said unto you," John 1, 50 and 51, "that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe in me?" He said, "You will see great..." Yes. He says, "You will see greater things than this." Then he said to him, "I assure you, most solemnly say to you," how will you see greater things? So you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of God, on the Son of Man. He says, you will see the heavens open. The way you will see greater things in your life or in my life, as Jesus was saying, is that I will be living under a place which is called open heavens. And because the heavens are open, there will be angelic activity at a rate in my life that will cause manifestations on the earth. That's what Jesus was telling them. That's why he says, these angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them that shall be heirs of salvation. So your salvation on the earth is tied to angelic activity. Your salvation on the earth, so you have to understand how to interact. That's what we're going to teach, how to interact with angelic activity, because it says they are ministers sent forth to minister for them who will inherit or who will be heirs of salvation, causing them to experience salvation on the earth. And we'll see clearly from the scriptures how, you know, the word of God is so beautiful, how we interact with the spiritual truth. Because we're in Mount Zion, we are in the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels, which is part of the church and general assembly of the firstborn. So we are here in Mount Zion. There are angels present to effect everything we are doing on the earth. So we're going to see that clearly, and we're going to see some things here which will actually help us to make some adjustments in our lives and to move forward in the things of God. Now, if you look at the book of Mark 9, chapter 1, verse 9, the same thing happened. I just want to emphasize something here about open heavens before we go into this. It said, in those days, Mark 1, 9 to 11. It said, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up out of the water, what happened? He saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and a voice out of heaven came, saying, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." The heavens were opened, and the Spirit descended. And subsequently, if you look at 1 John, if you look at from then on, Jesus went about and did miraculous things on the earth, because, you see, he was functioning under open heavens constantly. What we will teach today is how to maintain open heavens in your life, because you require it for the activity of angels and God to be manifest in your life in its fullness. And you know, the enemy works by ignorance. That's how it works. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. So let Satan should get an undue advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. And what does he do? He blinds the minds of people. He puts a veil over their minds so that they will not see the truth of the gospel. Let's go to Isaiah 25, verse 6 to 10. That's what he does. And he knows that once people have access to light, the game is over. So let's understand that. That is how you are praised. He says, "To whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe, the lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine upon them." So his principle and his practice is to veil people's minds. "And the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." So let's go there. We'll see how he, that's just what he does. That's his strategy. Isaiah 25, 6 to 10. He says, "In this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines, of lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined." And how is he going to do that? How is God going to do that? What is God's strategy? What did Jesus come to do? He says, "And he will destroy in this mountain," which is the Mount of Zion, "the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. And he will swallow up death in victory." So the way God swallows up death in victory is by removing the veil over the minds of people. And that is how death is swallowed up in victory. Because once the people's face are able to see what what is inside that veil, when their eyes are opened up, what happens next is that they begin to experience the things. Because as far as you can see, that will be yours. So once people begin to see really in the spirit, they will begin to experience the things that God has done for them. That's why Paul said, look, my prayer is that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Look, the spirit man has eyes. Like you have natural eyes. When I'm talking about seeing, there's something you see inside you, not with your natural eyes. There's a seeing that comes from within, because the spirit man has eyes, he has ears, he has nose, he has smell, he has everything. Because the Bible says taste and see, he has taste buds that the Lord is good. He has those faculties on the inside of him. So the eyes of your heart, which is the eyes of your spirit, needs to see certain things. You might be blind. Let me give you an example. A man came to Andrew Womack. He was blind. So we can see this thing clearly. And he prayed, a woman, she was blind, and she had problems with her eyesight. He prayed for her. He says, open your eyes and see in Jesus' name. She said, I can't see. He said, no. She opened her natural eyes. She was using thick lenses. She opened and said, I can't see. No, he said, close your eyes. Open your eyes and see. Open your eyes and see. She said, I'm open my, no. Not that eyes. Close that eyes and open the eyes of your heart and see. So, I see. And once she triggered that thing in her eyes, in the eyes of her eyes were opened. See, the spirit realm is the mother of the natural. Nothing crosses here without going through that place. Understand that. So when you understand that, you know that the way to approach things is to deal with it from the very roots. From the very roots. So, and that's what we're going to do today, to see how we deal with this from the very roots. And because you can be doing everything mechanically on the outside, if the heavens are shut, nothing's going to move. Nothing's going to move. If everywhere, so that's why Jesus took time. We'll talk about this. Why did he withdraw himself so many times? He had to ensure that the heavens were constantly open over his activities. That is why he knew exactly what to do at every point in time. Because like the way Jacob was there in that place where the ladder was opened, connecting him to heaven, constant flow. There was a constant flow between God, Jesus and the Father. Angels were in constant alignment with him. So he knew exactly what he would do. He was in a space when those things were not in operation, he would take time out to make sure the heavens are open. That's why, I'm sure that's why he took time with Lazarus. That's why he took time. That's why he said, look, I won't rush. Let me secure open heavens before I venture out into this venture. He stood there about 2 days. He stayed there and tarried. Then when he was ready, he came out. Please understand that. Life is spiritual. Like there's forces there militating against us, not wanting us to enter into the inheritance. And there's a battle.
Amen.
There's a battle. But think I have won the battle, but you have to engage. Jesus has won the battle, but you have to engage. And we'll see how to engage. Because I was thinking about it, and I read through the scriptures. I said, my God. Okay, let's go to the book of... Let's start from... Let's start from a very long message. So. It's an everlasting sermon. Let's start from Second Kings. Yeah, that's good. Second Kings chapter 6. So don't try and tackle things on the outside. You do what you have to do, but make sure that thing is the heavens are opened over your life. And I'll show you a few things here. That's why I like this song that we sang this morning. It reminds me of the old time Pentecostal. We used to sing in First Corinthians days, this song, Blessings and Glory. Yeah. So these truths, if they're not taught, they sort of slip away. You know, it's sort of things like praying and having a breakthrough in the spirit. You know, those things are very, very essential and they must be reiterated so that people do not sort of, the truth do not slip out. So, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 to 17. Now, these guys, the Syrian army, they were having problems here. There was a spy, the king thought there was a spy, but someone made him know that there's a man, the prophet called Elisha, who is telling the king of Israel the words that the king is speaking in his inner chambers. So he now decided to gather his army to go and fetch that prophet called Elisha. And when they came, he said, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early, 2 Kings 6:15, and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with the horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, he said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed, look at this, open his eyes, O Lord, that he may see. What is he saying? There's another eyes. And the thing about it is that you will fear if you're not seeing something else. There's, you have that set of, those set of eyes have to be open, because Elijah, you see, God was saying that faith is not in the air. Faith is based on evidence, but those evidences are not seen with the natural eyes. The eyes of your heart has to be open to see certain things that anchors your faith on that thing. It has to be, I mean, tangible things. It's a substance of things so forth. So there are tangible things in the realm of the spirit that you have to be seeing. It's not just I'm believing blindly. No. And that's what F.F. Bosco says. Faith is based on facts. And those facts are based from the scriptures. So you have to be seeing those facts. He says, open his eyes. Why was Elijah not afraid? No, because he was seeing certain things, tangible things in the realm of the spirit. And they were more real to him than the soldiers that were there. You know, so if you're not seeing anything, if you're just in the air, you will be afraid. So when his eyes were open, he said, I can see them. Wow, I'm going to fear. So it is definite. It is not theoretical. It is not, you don't try and work it up. His eyes were opened and he saw that the chariots were much more than those chariots. He's like, I've just been laughing. Okay, come against us. So there are definitely things you have to see. That's why that prayer is so important. Lord, open my eyes, I might see certain things in your word that will give my heart stability. Amen. So when he saw, fear left. Because there was something to anchor it on. So he opened his eyes and he saw. And when God says, fear not, God didn't say fear not. He says fear not because of certain things. And when you see those certain things, that's what will make your heart stable in the things of God. That's why when you're engaging in any project, right? For example, someone has been diagnosed with a sickness in his body. The evidence is before him. How is he going to cope with it? That's why I say, God, open my eyes, by stripes I'm healed, but you have to see with the inner eye the evidence of that thing, and that evidence must be stronger. That's when you go through the process of meditation and praying, so that that evidence will become so strong in your eyes, your inner eye, that this one becomes immaterial. Because this one is facing you every day. You're looking at it every day. So when you change your focus to begin to behold the other one, you know, and the evidence grows and it becomes more real. That is why the fear is dissolved. You know, you don't work it up. It happens naturally. When you begin to look at it, behold it, look at it, behold it, then it grows to the point where this becomes immaterial. You won't forget about this one. So faith is not a hit and miss. Faith is not a theoretical thing that floats in the air. Faith is definite, based on scriptural facts that have been ratified by the blood of Jesus. And those facts are taken and internalized until it becomes more real to you than the evidence you see. So let's understand that. And so he began to see and his heart rested. And said, okay, those that are for us are more than those that are against us. So what do we do next? How do we tackle these things in our environment? How do we apply this practically to our daily life? Let's go to the book of Hebrews. No, let's go to Daniel first. Daniel chapter 10. Let's see that there. We'll see something there. Daniel chapter 10. Because to see, listen, there's warfare. Because there's a veil there. What the enemy does, doesn't want you to see. Because once you see, you have it. So the warfare is that veil is taken away in prayer. You understand? So let's go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 10. Because the Lord and said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open. That means there was activity, there was warfare there, because he prevailed over something to open. That's where the warfare is, but it's not anywhere else. Daniel chapter 10. Now, let's go to ten eleven. You see, Daniel understood by books. It's like understanding the scriptures. He knew, he saw certain things in the word of God. He says, this is where I ought to be now. I've seen certain things regarding my career. This is where I ought to be. I've seen certain things regarding my future. This is where I ought to be. I've seen certain things, the inheritance God has promised me regarding my children. This is where I ought to be. He said, the next thing he did, he said, he didn't just stand there and say, this is where I ought to be. He set his face and began to seek the Lord in prayer, in fastings, and in confession. If you look at that, look there. Then go to 11. After 21 days, what happened? Let's see what happened here. It says, 11. And he said unto me, when the angel appeared, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. From the first day that you stood in that place of confession and prayer and uttered your prayer to God regarding that issue in your life, your words were heard. From the first day you made your request regarding that job based on the scriptures, your words were heard by God. And I am come for thy words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Your words were heard. So what's hindering it? It's not God. Understand that. There are forces there that are operating through the realm of your mind, hindering the manifestation of those things in the life of people. So understand that when you are, it's a mind shift, so you understand that you're not looking to God and saying, God, help me, help me, help me, help me. No. God has, he said, the first day you make a prayer based on scriptures, your words are heard and the answer is released. So what happened? There's a delay. So the focus should be, Lord, help me in this place of prayer to surmount all the challenges and all the forces that are preventing the manifestation of that thing you've already given unto me. That's it. And when you begin to see it like that, it changes your focus. You say, so it means that it depends on how diligent, right? And how diligent I am as a person, on how much I put into it, on how much I yield to the Lord to help me push this thing through. Rather than saying I'm waiting on God. No, God is waiting on you. Because on the first day he released the answer. What was the key here? The angel was not the key. God was not the key. God has released the answer. Daniel was the key. Daniel was the key. Daniel was the variable factor. If Daniel hadn't prayed, nothing would have happened. It says there, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what shall befall your people. That understanding now came to him. That means the knowing what to do exactly. That's it. Things of God are not difficult. It's just understanding how to operate in the realm of the Spirit. Because people are directing their prayer to God. He says, God will not resist the adversary, for you resist the adversary. You draw near to God, and he will draw near to you in answer to prayer. Then you now resist the devil, and he will flee. God's not going to resist it for you. You have to stand and resist the devil to receive those things. This thing is battle. He's contending with you to prevent you from getting the things that God has given you as a person. So you get angry. No, these things should provoke you to anger. Because there are promises hanging over people. There are things hanging over people that God has released. Because God will ask people to say, So I released it. He said, where is the Lord? The promise. God said, I released it. God said, I released it. God said, I released it. He said, but it's not manifested. There's a gap there, which you have to contend for. It says, contend for the faith that was delivered to you. What's the contend? So we're in contention. Contention is not, we're not, it, we're in contention for the things that belong to us. Let's go to, I'll show you an example so that you, it will, you see, let's go to the book of 1 Kings. I was playing with my friend. We used to pray sometimes. He calls me on the phone, we do some prayer. So for like weeks, the prayers have been, we've been missing the prayers. So I said, I'm feeling very tired. He said, it's not tired, that the enemy is stopping. And I woke up, I said, that is true. It's, you know, when you say, I'm tired, it's not you. That thing that brings some breeze on you. No, that's true. He said, I'm tired. I realized, yes, it's true. Why were they sleeping when they went to the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus prayed and he broke through in the spirit. Then he came down. He says, why could we not cast him out? See, this thing is serious though. He said, why could we not cast him out? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Jesus prayed and broke through on that Mount of Transfiguration and he came with that authority and said, bring him to me. When the disciples were sleeping, and they came, they thought they could actually carry out the process just like that, without taking authority in the spirit realm, without breaking through in the spirit. They wanted to just carry, come out. It's not by shouting. He had broken through in the spirit, and he came down, and he said, come out of it. I remember when Apostle was saying, I was praying so, praying, all of a sudden, he broke through in the spirit, and he felt angelic presence. See, when you break through in the spirit, angels appear. I'm telling you. And he says, when the angels appeared, he says, I am the chief of the host, angelic host. Issue the command. Right. And he issued the command, not knowing that, see, it's so spiritual, not knowing that there was an attack continents away at that same period when the angel was released. It's spiritual, though. It is completely spiritual. So let's understand this. We must not afford, we cannot afford to live under closed heavens. That means we have to pattern our lives in ways that making sure that the heaven is constantly open. And how is the heaven open? It's prayers. You pray like the old time guys say, you stay in prayer until there's a release on that thing. People are praying, but they're not prevailing in prayer. When you say prayer, you're not just praying, no, you stay in that on that prayer point until you prevail. Until you don't see, you put the project there, you stay there until you prevail in prayer regarding that thing before you move to the next one. People pray small, they will leave it. They go down, they will leave it. No. You stay there until you prevail. Daniel stayed there. It says 21 days we will stay there until we prevail in prayer. If I have to go to work, I will pray for 1 hour, I will leave it. If I know you prevail. When you know you prevail, you feel a release. Maybe everybody has felt this before. When you pray in strong spirit, you feel a breakthrough, and you just want to continue, and that's when you've gotten that breakthrough. So, if you have to go to work, you say, okay, I'll stop here. I'll go to work. I will come back. Let us face one thing at a time. Breakthrough, prevail in prayer, not praying to stop. Prevail, stay there until you prevail in prayer. Look at Jesus Christ. The same thing he did. He went to get the money. We'll go there later. Let's go to First Kings first. First Kings 18. Okay. Now, from one, he says, and it came to pass after those days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. It's like you get a word from God. That means I just got the word from God and I relax, like it's done. It's not done. It's not, no. There's a battle. The word of the Lord came to the word of the Lord, not from a, say, came directly to Elijah. Listen to that. What happened? Go tell Ahab, and I will send rain. Go to 42. Say, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain. When that word comes to you like a sound, you hear it, you perceive it, you see the scripture, oh, it jumps at you, oh yeah, I've got the scripture, yeah, God has spoken regarding this area of my life. Listen, everybody can go and eat and drink, but there are seasons in life. The season is different for different people. See, some people are walking under open heavens. Like, let me give you an example. Hagin went to a place to preach. The man was suffering from diabetes. While Hagin was present physically, the man didn't use his insulin. As soon as Hagin left that place, the man's insulin, he started needing his insulin again. See, this thing is deep. Because of that presence of that thing on him, he was benefiting from it by association. When he left, the thing left. So he was by himself. You understand? So he says, so that different people have different seasons. People are going through different things. People are different different time seasons in the realm of the spirit. So you can't afford to pattern your life after another man, because he's operating in a different season and he's pushing. You see, he might have broken through. He might have fasted and broken through, and it is time to rejoice and eat. While you are having heavy sorrow, it's your time to go into the place of prayer and birth things. You understand? So you can't follow any person. You understand? Someone is saying, let's go to the cinema and watch film. When there's heaviness in your heart, you say, no, sorry, go and watch film. I will stay here and birth my own. No, this is serious. No, it's serious. You know, it's not Ahab. You can go and eat and drink. But I've heard the sound of the abundance of rain. There is something hanging over my head. I will go to Mount Carmel. What did he do? And he went to Ahab went to eat and drink. Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. He cast himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees and told the servant, I'm not leaving this place until I see a manifestation. Until I break through in prayer, I will stay here as long as it takes me. That's it. I will take that scripture that was given to me. Look, I will stay there in prayer with the Holy Spirit helping me and travail in the Spirit until I get that release. People don't get release. They stop. I know it's difficult. No way you're starting. It's not like that part. But see, just persist. Persist. It might take you 90 minutes. So, no, persist. I promise you, persist. Once you go through that thing and you push through, it's like a river that comes. And once that river comes, angels are there, hoving around. And once you issue, that's when you now begin to declare the word, you will know that things are working. Let me show you an example. And I practiced things when I was in school, which I practice now. I said one day, let me practice this. My parents gave me 300 naira to fix my shoes. 300 naira was big money then. And I spent it. I didn't know the right thing. So the shoe was still bad. I didn't have shoes to go to school. So you know that God was saying, you practice this thing. I said, okay. So God shall supply my needs according to his riches in glory. I'm not going back to my parents to ask for more money. I said, okay, that's the scripture. I'll stay here. It was a Friday evening, I remember. That was the last, it was an evening. So we had to Monday. So I'll stay here in this place of prayer. It's a place called the field. I will pray that scripture until. So we stayed there, my friend. I was praying in the spirit. I prayed all night. You know what I'm saying? I was praying in the spirit until nothing broke. Let me tell you. At 6 a.m., my friend came. Someone told me to give you 300. See, I'm not joking. I'll give you his number. You can call him. He said, what are you doing? He said, someone gave me 300 naira to give to you. Exact amount. Well, you know, we are big boys now. You know, we are working. Don't. That is how the thing works. Another time, I said, let me practice. There was an exam we were doing. Let me tell you. Which didn't count for anything. So I said, no, let me, I want to practice something in your word. The Holy Ghost will show you things to come. That's the scripture that came to me. I said, I want to practice this. This example doesn't come for you. Let me practice this and see how it works. So I said, Lord, show me what's going to come out. What I'm going to do, what my question is going to be. You know? And when you show me, I'll go and study it. I didn't just practice it. The exam didn't count for anything. So I stayed there. And I was praying. The Holy Ghost would show me things. I was praying in the Spirit. All of a sudden, something flashed into my mind. A particular topic. I said, okay, I'll just stay with this topic. Let's practice it and see. I stayed with it. I read it the first day, the second day, the third day. And I would go and pray in the Spirit. So we go to the exam place. It was a practical exam. So we stood there, waiting for the queue to go in. I stood in front. The guy was telling me to go in here. And I said, stop you. Go that way. So I turned that way as I walked in. So I stood there. It was the same thing. The same thing I read. So, okay, I'm asking you this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So I said, oh, this thing works. It works. If we stay with it, it works. Honestly, it's 100, it's foolproof. Taking the scriptures, staying there, and praying the scriptures until you have a breakthrough in the Spirit, then declaring the words, and that will cause it to pass. It is not difficult. Take the scriptures, stay there, but the problem is staying there. Because that initial part of prayer, when you're trying to push through, is very hard. You know, especially when you have, you know, and the people, when you have been praying for a while, when you pray and push through in the Spirit and have that release, where you are praying constantly, as in you don't want to stop again, it's as if it's just like a river. The problem is people are happy, they do that, then they don't pray for 2 days or 3 days. They come and start again, it's more difficult. You know, so once you have that release, give yourself time in the day to set watches over your life. Say, okay, maybe at 12 o'clock again, I'll go and pray to keep these heavens open, keep this flow going. Maybe 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Set yourself times so that you keep that flow going in your life, that flow going in your life, so that that heaven will be constant, those heavens will be constantly opened over your life, and you keep on walking in divine coincidences in your life. You begin to walk in a realm where you begin to know things intuitively, you begin to see things in the scripture, you begin to just flow in that thing daily. So let's understand that. So let's not live our lives casually, just wake up and go to, no, you can't, just wake up like that and go to work, the mercy of God, no. The message of God is there, but you have to. The message of God is there, so everybody is having mercy. But why are some people excelling? Because some people are taking time to do these things. It's so important. You can't just wake up because you have an adversary. You know, so you can't just come and work today. I'm going to work today. No, you can't. Without prayer, without keeping the heavens open over your life, without declaring the word in prayer over the situations of your life, over your activities for that day. Hagin was saying that people are walking ahead of their prayers. They have gone 6 months ahead of their prayers. Their prayers is 6 months behind their activities. We have to catch up. So let's understand that. So that's how it works. I'll show you a few examples, and I'll say some things here. I can't go through all the scriptures, but I'll just share some things here regarding this. You know, in Acts, in Luke, when Jesus was born, the angel appeared to Mary, right? And the angel said certain things. You know, angels are so involved in the activities here on earth. Angel appeared to Mary and Joseph. I'll just say some things. And before Jesus was born, and gave them certain instructions. Jesus was born. And you know, when you give birth to the thing, you still need angelic activity and open heavens to maintain it. When Jesus was born, he said, okay, go now, take him to Egypt. Go now. So you need, when people go and sleep, God gives them something, they get married, they're happy, they birth it in the Spirit, then they go and sleep. You need that same thing, that same supply to keep that thing going. You keep it going to protect it, to nurture it until you get to the end of it. It's a constant thing. You cannot go to sleep. Because when men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. You understand? So when you do that, understand that it's a constant thing. So when you wake up in the morning, you say, okay, another day has come, and I need to have these heavens opened over my life. You pray in the Spirit, and you have that breakthrough. At 12 o'clock, anytime you have time again, you pray in the Spirit, and you have that breakthrough. With that same scripture, in the night again, you pray in the Spirit, and you have that breakthrough. With that same scripture, the next morning, you wake up again, another day has come. You pray in the Spirit, you have that breakthrough. When Crepidora was diagnosed with prostate cancer, terminal cancer, he said he knew that this was it. So he took the Bible, and he began to say those words. He would pray in the Spirit and confess the this could be. He said, listen, he knew that this was like they canceled every appointment for 6 months. He said, no way, I'm not going anywhere. He said, this is the tenacity it requires if you want something from God. You don't have to wait for a death experience. You can do it for your goal. He said, I knew that this is it. He canceled everything. He said, now, let us go. He said, every 5 minutes, I must declare something. I must do something. I must say something. I must do something in the scriptures regarding this thing. I will declare words. I will break bread. I will pray in the spirit every 5 minutes for 24 hours. The next day I wake up, I say, okay, now, another day. Another day. Yesterday is gone. Today is a fresh day. We're starting again. He did that constantly after 30 days. He said, you need habit. It doesn't take long if you are diligent. And you cannot stay in faith if the heavens are closed over you for long. You will forget. Honestly, the project will fly over you. You will forget the project. You will forget that you are believing for something. If you are not engaging like this, it's when someone now preaches, oh yes, I'm believing for that. No, I forgot it. No, it's engagement. That's what I'm saying. It's engagement. Like when you're preparing for an exam, you know how you engage. When you're preparing for an exam, it's not the same tenacity you use when you're just floating in the air in the beginning of term. So it's engagement for a fulfillment of this thing. You know, you should get angry and tired and say, why is this thing not coming to pass? If the determining factor is me, Daniel was the determining factor. Jesus was determining. If Jesus did not pray, what would have happened? Let's go there. Let's go there. So you stay in prayer until that thing breaks. That's why we have the cell. That's why I believe that's why you gather people to pray together. So you have a breakthrough and you carry that same thing and keep on keeping that momentum and that level in your private life. John. Because when I finished praying this morning, I knew that it was the enemy that was making me feel tired. I told my friend, I agree with you. Let me show you something here. It's a simple life. The gospel is simple. It's not complex. It can be practiced by everyone. John. Let me show you something here. Chapter. Yes. Okay. Okay. Who is that picture that says a woman has sorrow? I think. Ah, yes. John chapter 16. Sorry. Verse 20. So this is a practical message which it should be practiced. And it's not theory, it should be practiced, you know. 16:20. Because I remember then, you don't get up from your bed until you have prayed 2 hours in tongues. You lie down on your bed. You pretend as if you're even sleeping. You pray in the spirit until you break through. Then you now get up and start praying for everybody. But you stay there because you know that we know that your future depends on this. You stay there on your bed, you don't get up. You cover your head in the room. When the people are saying, you are praying the spirit, pushing until you have a breakthrough. Then you get up and start going, you can start playing with everybody. Understand that? It says, John chapter 16 verse 20. It says, verily I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And it shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, had sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembered no more the anguish for the joy that a man child is born into the world. Then now, therefore, you have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh away from you. You shall change yourself when you don't go through this process. You should change yourself when you are feeling heavy about something, and you go and eat and drink, and you go and substitute something else with that sorrow, and you drown it with everything on the outside, activities, work, even church activities. It says the call for you, your hour has come. Listen, in the realm of the spirit, it's time for you to give birth to something. That's why you're feeling that heaviness. Like a woman, when you're about to give birth to a baby, the contractions start. In the realm of the spirit, that heaviness, that burden that you're feeling, that thing when you wake up, you're feeling that lethargy that you're feeling. It's a sign in the spirit that something's about to happen. So you have to take time and go into a quiet place and begin to make prayers until that thing is born. That sorrow must be turned into joy. You must get to that point where you break through and that sorrow turns into joy. You must stay there until you break through in prayer, until that heaviness lifts from your consciousness. You must, because your life depends on it. You see, your hour has come. You know, there's a time and there's a season of response in the spirit realm. That's what Mordecai was telling Esther, look, there's a season of response. There's a time in the spirit. A time in the spirit where things are supposed to be born. When you're feeling that heaviness, there's a time, a season. If you miss this season, it will go around and come back again. But there's a season of response. It says, Esther, you are laughing and eating. I'm telling you, wait on the Lord now and go into the presence of the king, because you are in the kingdom for such a time as this. This thing you're feeling, this heaviness, is tied to your destiny in God. If you miss this time, don't think that you escape. The sorrow, the heaviness, I'm telling you, it's an indication that something is about to happen. You're believing God for something. Something happens in your environment that contradicts it completely. You've been confessing the word. That is the time for that thing to happen. He says, your hour has come. Just think about a woman, the contraction, the pain. So when I was pregnant, this pain was not that bad. The pain starts to come. The pain starts to come. Ah, it's up, it's screaming, abusing her husband, shouting.
I've seen them in labor.
The you man, you are the one that caused this thing. I've seen them in labor. So she loses inhibition. The pain is so much, it's excruciating, because her hour has come. So when you begin to feel that heaviness, when you begin to feel that pain on the outside, those things that cause you pain and sorrow, your hour, Jesus says, your hour has come. And what is the posture? You go into that place like Elijah. Put your head between your leg. If you are too tired, call Peter, James, and John. Say, come and help. Not the ones that sleep. The real ones. Call them and gather together and push these things through for me. Your hour has come. This is crucial. In the name of the Spirit, something is happening. Things are moving. Angels are moving. Demonic forces are moving. It's so crucial. Then when you break through in prayer, then you take your confession. I begin to speak. You'd be like a river. If you've experienced before, you know that things are moving. You come and you're so happy. You're full of joy. And when you begin to do this personally, God begins to trust you. This will put burdens in your heart for people around. This will put burdens in your heart. You begin to hoover and begin to drop. You know, okay, I'm beginning to feel this again. Something's about to happen. Let me go into that place of prayer. It might not be for you now. It might be for someone else. Remember, Lester Sommer fainted. He collapsed. He went on a missionary journey. He collapsed. He ate something poisonous. He was having dysentery. He fainted and passed out in the forest. Nobody knew where he was. He was there. A woman said, I just felt something in my heart. A woman far away. She said, I felt something heavy. I didn't know what it was. So he prayed for Somra. Prayed for Somra. She got up and started praying. She said, I prayed. A woman, she was saying in late times, I prayed until I became happy. That's what she meant. She said, she broke into joy. Did you know? So Somra visited her after like weeks ago. Away. She said, where were you? She said, he was saying I was in one. He said, you were in that place. He said, tell me what time. She just brought her diary. She said, look, that's the exact time I had that nudge in my heart to go into prayer. It's spiritual. It's giving that people that dull of hearing. Nothing happens to a Christian on the earth without a warning. Nothing happens. There's a signal somewhere. But we're not picking it up. Because we're not in this place engaging in prayer. The Spirit of God is hoovering in the night season, saying, who will pray? Who will stand in the gap? He's hoovering, looking for that person. Who will wake up when I nudge him? He told Hagin, he said, Hagin, if you hadn't gotten up at that time, Ken would have been dead. He woke up suddenly. He said, pray for Ken. He said, praying, until he broke through in the Spirit. Ken had a ghastly motor accident. He said, he doesn't know how. Mysteriously, the angels of God came and lifted him up from that place. Nothing happens. Nothing happens without going to the Spirit. Nothing happens without God warning, sending a signal. But we don't respond That's when things break through, break out without warning. Show something here. Go around over and show something here. How do you open these heavens? Then we'll see something. Cornelius, Acts chapter 10. Let's go back to that place. You know, where that's what the Christians were known for before now. They were known for staying in that place of prayer. That's what they would bring the problem. Okay, we have this problem. Let's go and meet them. And you know that these guys will solve the problem. Because they will stay there. They will stay there. Practical issues. They say, we're until this thing is solved. And it's not go and come. I remember when they brought the dead man to Smith Wigglesworth. Those guys, Jesus said he spends 15 minutes he keeps the heavens open. I can't remember how many. He spends, I think, every 15 or 20 minutes, he makes sure he prays. He doesn't pray for long, he prays for a short period. So he's keeping the heavens open. He understands it. He brought the dead man, he put him on the wall. He said, in the name of Jesus, come alive. He drops again. He said, no, it's not possible now. There's a constant flow. It's not possible. He carried him again. He put him down. What gives a man that audacity and boldness? He's seeing something because it's in constant flow. It's not for him alone. He carried him again, he thought, he put him there, hit him on the wall, right up, the guy got up. Everybody took off. They took off. It's a constant flow. That's when you hear the voice of God. You hear nudging. When you've broken through, you start getting eyes, you start getting vision, you start getting instructions. Quality instructions that you will hear. I remember when I was struggling once. I was struggling. I went to meet him. I said, I'm having a problem. I'm going to be pastor. I said, this thing is too heavy. I feel discouraged. He said, let me tell you what you do. Two things. Pray in the spirit. And when you break through the spirit, you need to sing. I went back. I said, okay, don't stop until you break through. I said, okay, sir. I stayed there. I was praying. And I broke into songs. And I broke into songs. My eyes were open in the spirit. I saw myself walking to one of my lecturers, asking for extra lecture. I saw it in the spirit. I said, that's what I'm going to do. I just went there and I walked with him. And that is how that situation was mounted. It is spiritual. It is spiritual. So stop trying to solve spiritual problems with physical might. Do what you have to do on the outside, but make sure that thing is going on behind closed doors. That travail in the spirit, that groanings that Jesus says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication unto him, that he offered up prayers with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. I'm saying that, Lord, my life depends on you. This one, we're not living here until there's a breakthrough. What I'm saying is that things are lingering too much. Things are lingering too much. Things have been promised you. It's not God's delay. God has released it. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We have to stay in persistent diligence. Look at Cornelius. Let's go for round until the things manifest. He says, yeah. See, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, in Acts 10:22, that feared God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to stand for thee into the house and to hear words of thee. Now, I want to see what Cornelius' account. And 31, he said, and said, okay, let's go to verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting, and until this hour, and at the night hour, I prayed in my house. It gives you an impression that these guys have set times to pray. Peter and John were going to the temple at the, what hour? Hour of prayer. So they structured their lives in such a way that they made sure this thing was going on steadily. It says, at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. So there was fasting going on, and there was prayer going on. And behold, and if you look previously, it says, thy prayers and thy alms, and there was giving going on to the poor. And the heavens were open. So the angel appeared to him and said, thy prayers and thy alms have come before me as a memorial. Given, because God gave him a memorial. He was given to the poor, and they came before God as a memorial. So God released the angels. That is why I was wondering, when, if you go to Galatians, when Paul was living, he says, the apostles, they gave me the right hand of fellowship, but only one thing they said. They said, we should go and preach to the Gentiles, but they said one thing, that I should only remember the poor. I said, what is it? Let's go there. I mean, let's go to Galatians 2. So fasting, prayer, and giving to the poor. Galatians 2. Let me see this. It says there, they're going to give me the right hand of fellowship. Where is it? That's what. That's 7. It says, but contrary to Galatians 2:7, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and that they and they that are unto the circumcision, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that. That's very significant. We should remember the poor the same which I was forward to do. There must be something significant about that. They said, they're telling you, go, but they told you, see, don't forget this. Remember the poor. It's tied to this thing. Remember the poor. That is why when Judas went out, when they said, who shall betray me? When Judas went out at midnight, they thought that he was going to give alms to the poor because he had the purse. That's how committed Jesus was giving to the ministry of the poor. So in your life, make out a giving plan to help the poor, the fatherless, the widows. Personally, as a church, you will do it. It is tied to this thing. It is your prayers and your alms giving to the poor have come before me as a memorial. So make out the schedule. Say, look, because the reason for wealth is to give charitable donation. That's why, see, when it says all grace, every favor and earthly blessing will come to you in abundance, that you have sufficiency in all things, that you are bound to personal wealth. No, you are bound to every good work and distribute to every charitable donation. I mean, school building, taking care of widows, orphanages, that is what the church is supposed to be doing. That's what the wealth is for. It is tied to the covenant given to the poor. He that gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and he reward him. He that reproaches the poor despises his maker. Or he that despises the poor reproaches his maker. Let's understand that. So this is the thing, I'm talking about keys to open heavens. Now we round up. So when you break through in the spirit, I won't go to the scriptures. Good. When you get to read Acts 27:21-24 in the shipwreck, Paul warned them. He said, this voyage has turned to danger, it has turned to harm. They didn't listen. He says, after long abstinence, he fasted and he was in prayer. He said, the angel of the Lord appeared unto me. Angelic activity. He broke through in the spirit, and the angel of the Lord appeared. This is exact. Go again. Let's go again. Let's round up with Luke chapter 22. And let me tell you something. When you have given birth to something, you don't sleep. In Revelation, it says, as soon as the woman gave birth to it, they were waiting to. People can sleep. They give birth to it. I like the way Pastor said it. He said, when some people can birth things. So you can birth a business idea. Because they can't birth it, they will steal it from you and carry it. It's happened. It has happened. People birth things, and some people come and carry that idea. And those guys that carry the idea have become millionaires with their names on the product. But the person that gave birth to it is missing and lost. round up now. Luke 22. So you don't understand, when you birth the thing, it has to be continued, it has to be maintained by the Spirit. He came out and went as he was what? To the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. 22:39. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. He says, pray that ye enter not into temptation. He says, pray that you enter not into temptation. Pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father. Another translation says that he began to be very sorrowful in his heart. And instead of going around, he went to that place of prayer. And he went three times, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And there appeared unto him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as if there were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And he arose up from prayer and came to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. And he says, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Jesus picked it up. If you go to the other account, he picked it up in the spirit with heaviness, with sorrow. And he responded by going to the place of prayer. He said, disciples, come and pray with me. If you look at the other accounts, he pushed through in prayer. And when he had pushed through, when he came to the point, when he knew he had broken through, he came to the disciples and said, okay, now you can sleep on. The work has been done already. You can see the work has been done already. I've surmounted the challenge. Even when they came, he knew they were going to come, but he had surmounted the challenge already. So he had the right response when they came. Peter didn't surmount any challenge. So he was still fighting in the flesh, bringing out swords, cutting people's ears. He said, no, don't worry. They have a legion of angels ready, because I've broken to in prayer. Angels are an assignment now for me. If I decide to say, angels, go and move on these people now, they will go and move on these people. And I got that because the heavens have been opened unto me in prayer. So the angels are an assignment. But Peter didn't know that. He was fighting. He was cutting people's. He says, pray that you enter not into temptation. So let's understand this. As we go into the, in this period of fasting, let's understand that. That we're not just, we are staying with that thing until there's a giving birth. God's word, prayer, the essence of prayer is for it to be answered. The essence of prayer is for the will of God to come to pass on the earth. It's not a ritual. It's not a religion. No, it is for establishing the will of God as it is in heaven on the earth through the vehicle of prayer, angelic activity, the supply of the Spirit. There are all tangible things in the Spirit, and we have an advantage over the world system. Just use the advantage to the maximum, you know. He's given us so much. There's nothing, he's given us all things. So why should, we be in a state where we are clutching for straws when the things he has given us are exact? You know, the promises are exact, and the new covenant is better than the old. We have everything. We have the Holy Spirit. We have angels on assignment. We're in Mount Zion here. We have examples. We have mentors. We have fathers. We have everything. We have the church. We have the body of Christ. So what is it? There's no excuse. So let's understand this and begin to practice. This is the practitioner of this thing that is blessed. So be doing your external work, be doing your normal work, go to work, do your activities. But look, the most important thing is that the heavens are open, so you are laboring in the open heavens, and that the word of God is constantly, that you are practicing the scriptures in your private house. That's the most important thing. That means you wake up in the morning and you pray in the spirit and you have a breakthrough and take the Bible, the scriptures, because the word of God is what the angels will listen to, and begin to declare the scriptures, you're getting things in your life personally. That's how you practice the word of God here in life. Because if you're doing activities, I mean, what's the scripture? I'm going to work, I'm just going to work like everybody. No! I'm saying in the name of Jesus, and I go there, that I exhibit 10 times more wisdom than all my colleagues. I say I'm a light to the Gentiles. So you begin to declare words. That is who you are. You're not just working like them, you are different. And that's the show. Father, we give you thanks. Thank you for your word. We ask for the grace to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Thank you, Father, for Lord, the strength to actually practice your word. We give you thanks for what you're doing in these end times. And we thank you for taking us even to the place of prayer, giving us the spirit of grace and supplication that we might be able to fulfill your purpose on the earth, as individuals and collectively as a body, in the name of Jesus. Amen.